When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Star Wars Hangout.
The best Star Wars Hangout in the galaxy. Hey Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. And friends, we are back with Ahsoka Episode 4, Fallen Jedi. A full spoiler discussion. Today I've got a couple special guests to help us break it all down. They are, and this is coming from them, they are known as the coolest podcast in the galaxy. So please welcome Ben and Joy from Hoth Hangout. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing well.
Doing real. What a introduction. I love it.
I mean, Hoth Hangout, and you guys are the coolest. It took me a second because I was like, well, it's a little pretentious. No, oh, I got it. You know, I'm just kidding.
It's so cool.
It's so cold. It's so cool. That I love it. I want to say, so, I mean, when I first, I'm glad you guys are on the show. Thank you for taking the invite and popping on here with me. I listened to a few of your guys' episodes. And before we get to know you, I want to tell you guys how I got to know you. Instagram just said, you guys need to be in my feed. You guys need to be friends with me. I need to see your stuff. And they just threw you my way. And it's Hoth Hangout. And I run a podcast called Star Wars Hangout. I was like, who are these guys? So I go down this deep dive, start listening to a few episodes, and your vibe is just super, super chill. There we go. Super chill. And I love it, man. So I also think I feel like somebody else that I follow also shared one of your, I don't know if it's something somewhere, a tweet or something about you guys. And so I think I have people in my circle that like also listen as well to your podcast, which happens. And we're sharing you guys a few times. So it's cool because we're coming up on your 1 year anniversary. Is that right?
Yeah. We are, I think, 2 episodes away from our 1 year anniversary episode, which is pretty cool. This is, I think, what Joey and I kind of like. I don't even know if we envisioned it when we started. We just both love Star Wars, and so we just wanted an avenue to talk about it. You know, it's a blast.
Yeah, and it's been a fun time, but and the fact that we've only missed, because we're a weekly podcast, so the fact that we've only missed 2 weeks of the 52 weeks of, I feel pretty accomplished at that. I told Ben on a previous episode, I haven't even done that like at work. So to be able to pull this off here, I'm pretty happy with what we're doing here now.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. It's really cool. And for my listeners, if you guys get a chance to go check them out, again, it's Hoth Hangout. We'll put links down there. I'm gonna have them pitch it here at the end as well. We're gonna get to know these guys for a little bit before we throw a bunch of questions at them. But also the YouTube channel. So I was just listening to you guys, and again, you know, Instagram recommends you. The name stuck out to me. I love Episode 5. I love Hoth. Echo Base. It's where it's at. And I'm like, okay, this is really cool. And then I go to the YouTube and you guys have this whole like decked out really awesome like background and everything. And it just looks sick. It actually looks super sick. And I just wanted to give you major props because I don't know. I need your help. I need to figure out some sort of like a theme, a design. It was really cool. So yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'll say, I mean, that wasn't by design for me or Ben. We have a producer that helps us out. His name is Gibbo. If you've listened to the episodes, we always give him shout outs at the end there. But yeah, he's the artistic one out of all of us. And he's able to put together some of these overlays and stuff like that. So anytime you see anything visual, that all comes from him, essentially, you know, whether it's the backgrounds, you know, we have a couple of episodes where we do Star Wars trivia or, you know, we get reactions. All of those visual effects are all coming from him.
Right.
So we are lucky to have him. So shout out to Gibbo. Yay.
Shout out to Gibbo. I was going to give him one. I had like a note somewhere because I'm listening to one of your, I don't know if it was your last episode or one of the more recent ones where you said something. He wasn't with you. You guys were kind of flying on your own there. And I thought, okay, who's this guy behind the curtain? You know what I mean?
Joey was substitute Gibbo for that episode.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed that I was sweating a little bit more that episode. You and I kind of talked a little bit about this, Ezra, off kind of at the beginning, but
yeah,
you know, me and Ben did, you know, Twitch streaming for, you know, a good amount of time. So we have an idea of how to work around OBS and things like that. So to have a little bit of knowledge there helps us out, but no, when Gibbo came on, I don't know what episode he came on, Ben, but when he started helping us out, that's where we felt a little bit more comfortable with it.
I think we've done more episodes with Gibbo than without him now. I think because he came around somewhere in the episode 20-ish range, mm-hmm. I want to say.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just have to say, as a listener now of you guys, I... From it, just hearing this person who is behind the scenes, I was gonna talk to my wife and say, we need to just make up somebody who is that. It just adds this element of like, who is this guy and who are they? You know, you get to shout out every episode. And so I just thought it was great. And then when you guys were flying, you know, without him, I was like, uh-oh, you know, we're in trouble. What's going on? But it was just cool. So I really cannot say, like, I found you guys, and I don't know, like, but when, I think when people are looking through, Joey and I were talking earlier about like all the different podcasts, all the different Star Wars podcasts that are out there, and you're kind of rolling through and you click and you listen and you try to figure out like who they are, what their vibe is and all that. And I just really, when I started listening to you guys before I reached out, I was like, wow, it's your two friends just talking Star Wars. And that's everything that I think, like, I'm for the angle here on my podcast is like, my wife has not really watched it all. She's seen a few things here and there, and you know, she's kind of the Padawan, and then it's great because she wants to know. And we're gonna watch it. So it's right here, it's in the living room, and so I'm kind of walking her through that. But I love your guys' vibe just in terms of the, you know, two friends talking through the episode. It's great. So, oh, and on that note, Ben, could you tell us like maybe just how you guys, Joey said we could do this on the fly here. How did you guys meet? Like, how did you guys start or come up with the idea for Hoth Hangout?
Right. So, like Joey kind of mentioned, we both knew each other through Twitch. I don't know if it was probably somewhere in 2020, I would imagine. I think mid or toward the end of 2020 where Joey and I first met. And it was around a common game we were both playing at the time, Fall Guys. And we were both kind of a part of the same community of people. And so, you know, just over time, got to know Joey a little bit through Twitch. And as a byproduct of that, I think at one point in one of his streams, he was talking about Star Wars. And, you know, as a Star Wars nerd, I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to like talk to this guy about Star Wars now every time I go in his stream. And then that at one point we were in a voice call together. This was maybe a couple weeks later for something else. And I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I know it was Star Wars. I don't know what specifically, though. And just the idea came to mind. It was like, what if we just did this for fun every week? Or we just like hopped on a call and just started talking about, you know, Star Wars because we love Star Wars. And I guess that was kind of how it originated.
Love it. Yeah, I love it. And then so you guys just kept after it. Yeah, because I mean, you guys have been doing, so you guys knew each other through Twitch, common game, and then just chatting it up and said, let's just keep after it. I was hoping I was wondering if there'd be like some epic debate you guys got in, you know, early on. And so you said, we got to settle this on a podcast, and this just continued on for a year. And I don't know. You know?
Yeah. I think Joey and I tend to be much more in agreement than disagreement on most things Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is like teasing anything we're going to be talking about later, but, I'm a lot higher on the prequels than most people are, and Joey's a lot higher on the sequels than most people are. So,
yeah,
like some of our content has like focused on like kind of elements of that, and how we're trying to like uplift these downtrodden parts of Star Wars where certain parts of the fandom is like, no, that's terrible. We're like, no, here's actually how it can be cool.
Right, right. I love that. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. That is an interesting dynamic because having you know somebody favoring the prequels and then the sequels, you get a lot of those guys, the podcasts are out there all about the originals and different things. And so that's good. I love that. We can talk about that in a second too, because I want to, you know, get to know you guys a little bit as well. Some of your favorite, you know, like your favorite Star Wars character, let's see here. So favorite Star Wars character, favorite Star Wars movie. And then when did you first sort of fall in love with Star Wars? So who wants to kind of go first here? Who do we think, I hear Ben has a good story, so I don't know. I feel like we I don't know.
Do you want us to rattle off each of them one person at a time, or do you want us to bounce back and forth with each question?
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. Yeah, yeah, let's go. Let's go with just favorite Star Wars character. Let's talk about that first. Yeah, so we'll start with Ben.
Okay. Well, my immediate answer, and this might be like recency bias, but I would probably have said it before the show too, is Ahsoka. I really got to know that character through the Clone Wars and Rebels as well. And I just remember them announcing the show and thinking, oh my gosh, my favorite character is going to have her own show. I, as Joey knows, and we talk about this a fair amount as well on various episodes of our pod, that I go towards the gray characters a lot in Star Wars. So like, I love Ahsoka. I love Qui-Gon. I like these. Baylan, even, I would say, is kind of more gray than evil at times in this new Ahsoka show. So I just, those characters in particular, the ones where good and evil aren't, you know, blatantly obvious to those characters, those tend to be my favorites. And in regards to Ahsoka specifically, though, I think she has a very charming quality about her. And as it relates to Anakin being a fan of the prequels, it was cool to see a more human side of him too in the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. So that kind of endeared me to her even more, I would say. And then on top of all that, I named my dog Ahsoka.
Oh, let's go. Okay. So it's legit. All right. That's awesome. Well, I mean, can I ask you just a quick follow up on that? Like, you remember when Ahsoka first, you know, came into the, into the fandom and stuff, how did you receive, where were you at on her originally? Like when she first came in?
Right. So this is a great question, because the way that Ahsoka premiered is in the Clone Wars movie, which I am probably going to get the year wrong if I try to remember it exactly.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember. Yeah.
It was early 2000s, like 03, 04, 05 in there.
Yeah.
And many people disliked her after that film. In fact, if you watch the movie and then you watch the show, her character is very different the way she's portrayed in the movie as opposed to the show. And so after the movie, a lot of people didn't like her as a character, and they're like, you're ruining Anakin. And I guess I never had that sentiment, perhaps because I didn't see the movie before I saw the show. I actually saw the show, you know, 4 or 5 years after it premiered, probably in around 2010, I want to say. But so I didn't have the experience of ever disliking Ahsoka. I'm not sure if I would have seen the movie first or not, but there was a pretty big portion of the fan base when she originally came onto the scene that didn't like her.
Right. Yeah. That was a time in my life where I think I had just, I don't know, it was, I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember the year that came out, but I remember being around like in college or just getting to the point where I just wasn't into it as much. I don't know if you've ever had a gap in your Star Wars fandom where you're sort of like, all right, well, yeah, focus on some serious stuff. And then you're like, then once you get in your job, you're like, okay, what were all the things that really gave me happiness? Let me go back to those things. And that's sort of what happened to me. And I remember thinking back on that. I'm like, yeah, what was like when I first got back into Star Wars, like, you know, a few years before Disney got in, I was back in there looking at the comics and stuff. I was like, yeah, the character, I went back and watched all of Clone Wars. And I was like, well, actually this character, everything I heard was pretty negative, but then I had the advantage of just sort of, you know, combing back through all of it right away, and I didn't really have any problem with it. So, but I do remember it being sort of a thing back then. So, yeah, interesting. Okay, all right. So Joey, who you got? Favorite Star Wars character?
So I grew up with this character. I'm a little bit older than Ben, just a tad. So I do like the sequels probably more than most, the original trilogy is kind of my home as well.
Yeah.
But my favorite character is actually Lando Calrissian. So,
okay.
So he just is just cool. You know, he's just this guy. I mean, that everything was going around all around the universe. Things were going wrong. Everything was going right, whatever. But he was always just the kind of that guy on the side that you never quite knew what his motive was. You never quite knew exactly, you know, what he was going to do. You knew he was on the good side of history, but at the same time, he didn't show all of his cards all the time. So I thought he was a cool character to kind of grow up with. And you know, I talk about this a lot on the pod. There's a specific action figure back in the day that I really liked of his. It was from Return of the Jedi. It was when he was dressed up as a Skiff guard. You know, has the helmet. It has a staff. And so it's like my favorite figure, you know, of all time. I remember growing up playing, it was actually my brother's, and I would just always just take off the helmet, put on the helmet, you know, that type of stuff. They didn't have all that stuff back in the day, you know, so right. to have that, I just thought it was just a cool look. And So yeah, that, and when Solo came out and Donald Glover was Lando, I was super pumped because I really love him as an actor as well as a performer. So it was just great. So everything Star Wars with Lando is just amazing. I didn't get to meet him. I actually went to Star Wars Celebration in 2019 when it was here in Chicago. Billy Dee Williams was there, but I didn't have a chance to meet him. I actually walked next to the podium, the autograph pavilion where he was at.
Yeah.
And I think I saw him. I'm not quite sure if it was him, but I like to think that I was right there next to him. So, but yeah, he's always been, and you know, Billy Dee Williams himself as well. I liked a lot of his movies, growing up as well. So I think for me, easily Lando, whenever I hear, you know, him talk, it just, I'm like, all right, this, and he's a smooth, like I said, he's like butter, you know? So just to have that in the middle of Star Wars, all of the issues and conflict and all that, to kind of have that kind of just cool dude. And I really like, not that I'm cool, but I felt like I identified with him, you know? Like if I was in the crew, if I was with Star Wars, that would be me. That would be me jumping in the Millennium Falcon there, you know, helping out when needed there. And, you know, just, I don't know that. So that's my favorite character.
I love that, honestly. I was not expecting that, because you don't hear a lot of people come out and say Lando is like their favorite. Because when I bring guests on the show, it's just you go to a lot of the Force users and different things. And I mean, I've been hearing your most recent episode, Joey's like, Star Wars is lightsabers, man. Like, you guys are talking like Ahsoka has been this lightsaber city. But I think he's Gold Leader, right? I mean, that was like, he's going in talking to Akbar, and we got to give him more time, man. I mean, he's the guy. Yeah. I do. He is cool. And he's that like X factor. I mean, his hands are tied in Empire. What's he supposed to do?
Right.
You know, his good buddy shows, hey, the Empire got here. That, I mean, Empire Strikes Back is amazing. When I first showed my wife all the movies we're going through, I did not expect. I thought, okay, it's going to be something more flashy. It's going to be something from the prequels, something from the sequels. And fellas, it was Empire Strikes Back. I kid you not. She was like, as we got past Return of the Jedi and we're going into the sequels, and she's like, Empire's the best so far. Loved it. So nice. I don't know. That's where he shows up. So Lando's great.
And a quick story about Billy Dee Williams. So when we were at Star Wars Celebration, there was a panel that I was able to attend. I think it was there, or was it? No, I don't think I was attending that one, but it was like broadcast there. And that was a question that was asked of him, like, what do you think about, you know, you kind of betrayed everyone in Empire, and you know, like, you know, what are your thoughts about when that happened, you know, like, did you feel bad about it? And then all he said was like, well, did anyone die, you know? And I'm like, and everyone, you know, everyone just kind of, well, that's a good point, you know. That was actually what needed to happen. So yeah, it was he seems like a cool dude.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I was glad he was in Rise of Skywalker and stuff. And I was just hoping we get, you know, more there. Do you guys know? Because I've honestly been, I'm a school teacher, and we just started back to the school year. So my life's been a little bit crazy. And then they drop this amazing Ahsoka show, and I'm like, wait a second, how are we supposed to start the school year while this is happening at the same time? But has there been any news? Do you guys know about like the Donald Glover, like the Lando series or anything? A little bit. Okay.
Yeah, the go-ahead is there, and I think Donald Glover, along with his brother, isn't that right, Joey, are going to be directing it now? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the big piece of news maybe like a month ago or so, I want to say.
Okay. I felt like I did see something. I felt like there was something going on about it, and I just didn't really wasn't up on it. I didn't get a chance to kind of read through it, and I saw it, and it seemed like good. I'm kind of, you're scrolling, and I'm like, oh, it seems good. It seems like there's something positive happening with it, so that's good, because I hadn't heard anything about it in a long time. So
yeah, outside of that, I mean, what was funny is that Billy Dee Williams was also kind of tweeting more during that week. So I was like, oh, you know, like, this is going to happen. It's going to, you know, we're going to have Billy Dee back as Lando or something like that. And then he ends up like announcing like a new book that he's writing. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Well, I'm happy for that too, but I thought he was going to be back in
if they do get on it, I would love for them to have something with him reflecting back on a you know, in the beginning, almost like what they do in The Hobbit. If you've ever seen where they bring in old Bilbo and he's reflecting back, and it transitions, you know, to Freeman. But okay, awesome. Let's move on to favorite Star Wars movie. So I think we've narrowed it down anyways for both of you guys. So Ben, back to you. You know, what favorite of, I'm guessing it's one of the prequels.
It's close for me, actually. It's also funny you mentioned that this is a question, too, because Joey and I did a relatively recent episode where we did our full, whatever it was, 1 through 11 rankings of of the films. And I would say it's very close for me between an original trilogy film and a prequel trilogy film.
Okay.
The original trilogy film being Empire, which we've talked about a little bit already. Yeah. And then the prequel trilogy film being Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
I think most people would say that's far and away the best prequel film. But I think, again, for me, Star Wars is really, at least the first six films, are really the story of Anakin. And so this is like the way I've always described it on our podcast, and the reasons why I like Episode 3 is it's like having a 100-piece puzzle that had 99 pieces for so long. And then you get the 100th piece, and it's that satisfying feeling of seeing like how could someone go from being this sweet kid to, you know,
right,
this villainous Vader, the evil of the galaxy. So it's satisfying, like seeing how someone can turn from a place of good to a place of bad, but out of a sense of, you know, love really for the person he loved most. So
yeah.
Anyways, all that atop with the fact that the scene on Mustafar is like, I waffle back and forth between that being my favorite lightsaber duel and Duel of Fates, Phantom Menace. But
yeah,
There seems to be like more emotion with the Mustafar fight, which is, I think, why I would potentially give that one the edge to Duel of the Fates. So,
yeah, anyway, absolutely.
But yeah, all in all, I like Episode 3 and Episode 5 pretty closely even. Although on our recent episode, I did put Episode 5 just slightly above Episode 3 for me personally.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I think, you know, for a lot of fans, Episode 5 is sort of like, wow, it just takes it to another level. But then for me, I also kind of, I grew up with my cousins who had watched the originals. Like, they were older cousins who they had seen it, and then it'd been passed down to me, and I'm younger, watching the originals, like, oh, this is cool. Loved it. Was interested, had the figures and different things. But when Phantom Menace came out, I was just locked in. And that battle, I was like, what is going on here? I want to be a Padawan. Sign me up. Who's my master? So yeah, that's where I kind of fell in love with it as well, too. But I had the background, which was nice, of all the originals, and just from, you know, older cousins really who were just super into it. So that's cool. I think it's a good kind of blend there.
Yeah. I'll also add, Joey and I's runner-up for favorite Star Wars characters were Jar Jar Binks and Babu Frick.
Babu Frick. Babu. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, he's hilarious. Yeah, and Jar. I'm at best, right? Coming back as Kelleran Beck. I mean, geez, yeah. that was wild. I love that. I explained to my wife who that was, and out Jar Jar. You know, she was like, what? Yeah, that's the guy. That's the man right there. He is absolutely out there tearing it up. So yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, and I love, you know, his personal story as well. I'm at best, you know, how far he had fallen from, you know, being in Star Wars, and, you know, a lot of the flack that he got from the fandom, you know, unwarranted. You know, I understand that, you know, people may not enjoy particular characters, but at the same time, these are actors. This is their livelihood.
Yeah.
And for it to have affected them so bad, and for him to be welcomed back into Star Wars, you know, I feel like that's such a redemption. That's one of the better redemption stories of the fandom and of a particular character.
Yeah, and not to deviate too far, but I wanted, as you say that, like, one of my favorite characters. My favorite character is Obi-Wan Kenobi, but one of my favorite characters is Rey. I actually love Rey.
Thank you.
Joey does too. Yeah. I mean, I don't dislike Rey, but Joey is like a Rey stan. And so he advocates for her.
Right. I mean, I hear, like, here's I'll my post lightsaber. Yeah, get it out. Because I want it to be known, because I sometimes will post things or whatever, and you'll see that Star Wars fans come in there and they get all bent out of shape or whatever. I'm like, guys, this is actually one of, like, Daisy Ridley is amazing. She's awesome. She was posting, like, lightsaber training videos back on her Instagram back in the day, and we all were like, let's go, this is real, you know, like, this is was the first time we really got to kind of interact and see that. And then the fandom just, I don't know what, I mean, not to get into all that because that can be a little bit crazy, but I mean, it's just like, I think it's a great character. I think she's a great character, and I am so glad. Did you see at the last celebration, like, she came back out and they're doing the whole New Jedi Order? I'm like, are we not all thinking that this is all this Mandoverse stuff, and there are certain characters here that could live a long time, and there are other younger characters that we don't know where they went or what happened that maybe could end up down there, or maybe she does her whole own new thing. I don't know. And you still got Finn. There's so many things that can happen. And that's a whole another, I could do a whole episode on just where this is all going, but I'm glad that Joey thinks that too, because I just don't get what people, she's a great character, super freaking powerful, by the way. So
yes. Yeah. Sorry. I ran off the rails with the Jar Jar comment.
I think I had a number three of my favorite Jedi too. So,
I do. So Joey, I want to get you before, I want to come back to that actually, because I have your guys' your top, you ranked the Jedi, didn't you? You went in and you ranked them. I'll just ask you right now, since we're right here, what was Sifo Dyas doing up there? Who had Sifo? How did that happen? Okay. Did you guys choose that, or like
what? So the way that we did it, we did a draft style, right?
Okay.
And you know, we went back and forth. I forget if we did snake draft or not.
Yeah, we did snake. No, we didn't do snake for that one.
Yeah, it was just back and forth, right? And if you've ever participated in any type of an NBA, NFL type of fantasy draft, you know, you always kind of try to reach for one, you know, not always, but there's always the guy that maybe makes a reach. And I was doing it more for that, we needed to get one in there. And I think I had just read.
Dooku Lost.
I read Dooku Lost.
Or Jedi Lost, or whatever it's called.
Or Jedi Lost, yes, Jedi Lost. The Count Dooku audiobook.
Yeah.
And so it was fresh in my mind. And I think I had watched, isn't there a Clone Wars episode with him too as well?
I think so, there's multiple.
I think a combination of that was just fresh in my mind. And I'm like, I'm going to throw Sifo Dyas in there, just because, I mean, because the reality is people are going to hate me because I had Rey at number three. So I might as well just, go all in and have Sifo at number five.
Yeah. Yeah. I was scrolling to the end. I'm like, I gotta see real quick where we got to, and he just pops out there. I'm like, Sifo Dyas. What is it? I was like, did he pull that out of the air, or was this like cards were given to him? I have to go back and watch the whole thing now. But that's amazing. So, and I'm sorry, I've got us completely off track. But did we get your favorite movie?
No, not yet. Yeah. So okay, my favorite movie, right? Yeah. My favorite movie was Return of the Jedi. So that was the first Star Wars movie I had watched in the theaters.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of bleeding into the next question that you have here. But so I remember going with my brother and, watching it any Star Wars movie in the theater is an experience,
Right.
And I can't tell you about any other movies that I watched back then. I can tell you about when I watched Return of the Jedi though, because, everything about it, how green the lightsaber was, the Sarlacc pit being super scary, all the cute Ewoks, just everything, the whole experience was just amazing. So yeah, absolutely. And before we got to prequels or anything like that, this was the height of Luke. Obviously this was Jedi Master Luke, Jedi Knight Luke. He came in with the hood and all black in Jabba's palace, and you're like, this guy, you gotta watch out for this guy, And even when, and I don't think this gets talked about enough, but didn't he go ahead and choke a Gamorrean guard going in there? That's a little bit, I don't know, we might need to check Luke there for his Jedi credentials. But I think so seeing him in that light, and I've talked to Ben about this quite a bit as well, like episode A New Hope Luke, it kind of gets on my nerves a little bit. He's a little whiny. He's a little bit, and he's a kid, so understandable.
Right.
But by the time he evolves into what he is in Return of the Jedi, this is the Luke that everyone wanted to see. This was, you don't have to get into this. This was the Luke that everybody remembered going into the sequels, that's what they wanted. Right. This is what they wanted. And I understand that, but again, Return of the Jedi for me, because of all of that, being my first movie experience, and just kind of seeing this is what Star Wars is all about.
Yeah, man, that is so. You were there. You went to the theater. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love being able to talk to some. We had some on our podcast, and a couple of the ones I've done in the years past. Like people come on who were there, who were 1977. Mm-hmm. They went and saw it, and I was like, I used to troop with. I was sort of a handler for some of the 501st members, some of those guys could just tell you stories about being in the theater. And it was just, it's epic. It's an experience. And my theater experience was Phantom Menace. And I just, man, I, but
That's crazy. Return of the Jedi is my favorite movie as well, too. I love that movie. I just all the time would talk about it. It was so, so sick because it's just Luke at his height, and then you've got all this stuff going down in Bright Tree Village, and these Ewoks are out there. Yeah. As you said it, Joey, I've said this numerous times as well. This guy walks into Jabba's palace. He does, just cloaked in the Force. Just absolutely just goes in there, and he knows he's powerful. It just, there's something about the way he walks in there, and you're like, whoa, he is absolutely surrounded right now. Who does he think he is? He's a Jedi. So anyway, I love that. That's awesome, man. Crazy. Okay, good. We'll see. All right, we're getting to know these guys a little bit. So now let's actually enjoy what, right? If it connects, maybe, is that kind of how then you first fell in love with Star Wars? I'm guessing, right? That's sort of just to kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, and, back in that era, we didn't have streaming services. We didn't have, the internet or any type of social media where you can keep in touch with the fandom or anything like that. So it was just, just people in the neighborhood or other, friends from school that either did or didn't like Star Wars. And like I said, my brother took me to go watch it, and my brother had a little bit of a collection as well. I think he had like an X-wing fighter as well, and like I said, the Lando figure. So he had had something. So that's how we were fans back then, just playing with them. He had them just shooting pew pews everywhere, and that's being immersed in that. And that time was just so huge for me, and it really brought me and my brother together quite a bit as well. And we kind of had a, renaissance when the prequels came out. We're like, oh, remember when we had all this? And then, we just go on a crazy collecting hunt and all this stuff. Yeah. And in fact, just recently, me and him, we went down to Indiana, which was about like a 3-hour drive to like this huge hobby shop, huge toy shop, just to go look at stuff, just to go look at toys and all that. And like old figures, new figures, all that. So for what it has been for me in my lifetime, I've become closer with my brother because of it. I've met people across the world on the internet, and that's Star Wars for you, man. Star Wars for everybody. And it's just so fun when you meet people.
Yeah, agreed. That's cool. I love it. I love it. All right. I think this is what I've been hearing about, wondering about. So Ben, when did you first fall in love?
Well, let me just preface it by saying that Joey said this story was going to be interesting. I think it's more embarrassing for me because I don't know if it's my absolute least favorite Star Wars film, but one of my least favorite Star Wars movies is the first one I ever saw.
Okay.
So I don't know how old I would have been, but when I was young, my uncle gave us a box set of VHSs for Christmas, and it was, remember, it was 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 because 3 hadn't come out yet. And so I think I was like too young to really even appreciate what Star Wars was at the time. Yeah. And so I remember not watching them when we first got them. And then one day I was just like with my dad, and he was like, hey, you want to put a Star Wars movie on? I was like, I guess. And so, yes. So I didn't pick which one I watched first. He picked it.
Okay.
He picked episode 2.
Okay,
like, hey dad, which movie should we watch first? Should we watch episode 4, the one that came out first, or maybe we should watch episode 1, the one that came first chronologically?
Yeah,
nope, let's watch episode 2. So we watched Attack of the Clones, which now I would ironically rank probably in like my bottom three or four favorite Star Wars films. And I remember just loving it, though. It was the first Star Wars I'd ever seen. Obviously, as a kid, you see this lightsaber fight and you're like, holy cow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And, so my baseline for like what the Jedi were is the Battle of Geonosis, when there's like 150 of them, and it's like, wow, this is awesome. This is the Jedi Order.
I'm just thinking here. Yeah. Like, as you look back, there's a ton of lightsabers in that. So if you're showing it to a kid, a youngster, it's like, this might get him in, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's crazy. Yeah. You just plopped you right in the story and you're off and running. I mean, essentially George Lucas did that to us all in episode 4, which is sort of like, boom, here you go. We're going to plop you in here and get after it. So
the other funny part about that is that, I remember being at the age watching this where pretty much anything a parent does that is like trying to be funny, you're probably going to find it funny at the age I was at.
Yeah.
And so the part of the film that I just laughed and laughed and laughed at, because my dad made fun of it as it was happening, was the duel after Dooku faces Obi-Wan and Anakin, and Yoda walks in, first of all, which is like such an epic scene as he walks in there with his cane. You think he, and then you actually get to see him fight for the first time. And I'm, as he starts, you know, flipping around, this is the first time they've like really made use of CGI Yoda. And I, as a kid, I just thought that was funny. I remember howling laughing because my dad was like, oh, look at him go, look at him go, you know, and I just thought that was, so for a long time, Yoda was actually, and I would still say Yoda's a top three character for me. For a long time, Yoda was my favorite character, probably up until the Clone Wars show came out.
Wow. Wow. That's cool. I mean, that's, I'm now thinking about like my niece who I've introduced to Star Wars through like The Mandalorian and Grogu. And that's like that. She's got the Grogu backpack, the whole nine yards, and it's all about it. And I'm like, I show her Rey and it's just like, ah, Grogu's cute. And she's just all locked in, you know. So it's funny. It's funny how you get into Star Wars and where your entry point is. And I would say there's really, once you're in, you're in. I mean, you get in there and you'll find something. All of these different pieces have people that I Joe, you mentioned this, like the actors, the people working on the show, all the writers, all the just everybody, they pour their heart and soul into these things, and they really are trying to make some of the best, you know, start with getting this, they're fans of the universe, they want to make something awesome for the fans. And so I feel like it's so cool to hear people's entry point and see where they came in and what they enjoyed, what they loved. So yeah.
Now I usually withhold the fact that Attack of the Clones is the first Star Wars film I've ever seen.
You're afraid people are gonna judge you or something. I mean, I don't know what like, because growing up, people really hated on the prequels, and I kind of, that's why I'm real cautious when I hear people about like the sequels and stuff. I'm just like, hold on a second. People went after something that I was like, I loved the prequels, all of them actually, and I didn't, not until I got older. I'm like, I kind of see some of the quirkiness that's going on there in episode two, but. You know, some of the awkward dialogue or whatever it is, but I still love it. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna, people need to, it's for kids. Just gotta hold on a second. So,
yeah.
But, all right, let's get, that was good. Thanks guys. I think it's just fun to kind of get to know you guys. And I want our listeners to go check you guys out. So the same, similar like vibe over there. These guys are just always, you know, talking Star Wars. What you guys, the most recent episode, the one I listened to, World Between Worlds in Live Action, was the episode you guys just did. Full breakdown. You guys kind of walk through the episode, your takeaways. Did you guys watch? Do you watch it on Tuesday and then record kind of on Wednesday, or how are you guys doing that?
Yeah, so we for Ahsoka at least, what we do is we'll watch the episode together on Tuesday night, like very shortly after it comes out. Basically, just record ourselves watching it.
Oh yeah, the reaction. Yeah,
yeah, that gets chopped up and then we upload it. Usually Wednesday morning, and then on Wednesday evenings we'll record like our full breakdown and thoughts after we've kind of had like a 24 hours to mentally digest what we've watched get our thoughts out that way.
That's good. I always, so my wife and I, we stay up late and we're delirious anyways, and so we do like a 20 to 30 minute thing, just a quick reaction, so my thoughts are never actually very cohesive. I'm sort of just rambling. It's just like, oh my god, this is awesome, like did you see this, did you see that, and then so it's just sort of a rant. So I did enjoy that you guys kind of went, you know, scene by scene and really, really broke it down. Today, what I wanted to do is just kind of jump in here and throw out some big questions. I guess after episode four, you know, what we're thinking going into episode five, which apparently is going to be this massive episode. So I want to get to those questions real quickly. But before I do that, like, just for our listeners here, like, what is your guys' Ahsoka viewing experience been like? Have you been enjoying the show? I'll start with Joey. Just like, how are you feeling? I mean, how do you feel? Maybe even this compared to other shows or other TV shows, I should say, quickly, you know?
Yeah. And I think you mentioned it that I said this as well. Lightsabers, space battles.
Yep.
All that. I mean, this is the Star Wars that we've been waiting for. We very much enjoyed Andor. We know that there was none of that going on in there. I mean, that was just really, really good story writing, really, really great acting. So for different reasons, it was Star Wars, but not the Star Wars necessarily that we've come for, you know, that we've come to recognize and
right.
enjoy. So from that standpoint, yeah, I've absolutely been enjoying this series.
Yeah. 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 Ben. Yeah. How about you? I mean, same sort of sentiment.
Yeah, I would say so. This series in particular, while it has like all the lightsabers and awesomeness that Joey was talking about, I think what also holds it up is that is not like necessarily in contrast to Andor, because I think Ahsoka also has like equally as good storytelling mm-hmm. as Andor had, you know, but it also just has all the cool stuff too, like lightsabers and especially I think one of the more underrated parts of the series that I wasn't expecting to enjoy as much as I have is kind of the development and of Sabine and the way they've chosen to handle her character.
Yeah.
I told Joey maybe two or three episodes, or no, I guess actually it'd been four episodes ago. It was because this was before the season premiered. I said her character was the thing I was like the most hesitant about going into the show and how they handle her character. And I've enjoyed it a lot so far. So I would say that's also the most surprising part of the show so far.
Yeah. Well, and then you'd said earlier too, like Ahsoka is your favorite character and a yeah. character that you're just like hyped about. And I mean, I think for me, I was blown away when she showed us, she was in Mandalorian, and I was like, wait, what? You know, there's rumors that was happening. And then to hear she's getting her own series and to now see it, it's just sort of mind blowing.
Yeah.
And I love it. We're enjoying it too. So, all right. Now we might not get to all these just depending on time or whatever here, but I just have, there's so many, I guess, questions, and we don't have to go in any particular order. I just threw some in here and want to get some thoughts from you guys. And I wanted to start off too with something I don't have in the doc there. So I'm going to kind of read this to you guys, but I was watching it today. I was watching the episode again. I got home from work. I was watching it and I started listening to the dialogue a little bit more carefully. Like Ben, you had just mentioned, and you guys are talking like the writing in this is kind of wild. Like a lot of the lines that are delivered by Sabine, it feels like they could go either way. You remember when she kind of asked her like can I count on you? Mm-hmm. And then Sabine doesn't say yes, you can count on me. She says, you know, you can.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so it's sort of like, mm-hmm. you know, you can, but it's not yes, you can. I mean, it's just a subtle little thing. You guys mentioned this in your podcast, and I just was listening to it when Baylan is talking to Morgan. He says, or she says, do I sense a note of fear in your voice? And he, instead of acknowledging it as fear, he says experience, right? But if you really go back and you look at it, you're like, mm-hmm. it's the same thing. Your experience is telling you that this is something to be nervous and like you're anticipating this action. I just think it's so cleverly written. I mean, like even when Hu Yang is talking to them and he's talking about, like he has to, when he's attacked, he disables the ship and turns the lights off just so that way it looks like he's broken something, but it's to alert them. He's doing the right thing. I don't know. There's just so many different things that I kind of was like trying to see if they all matched up or see how the dialogue sort of tied in together and what was really going on there. Because by the end of this thing, I never expected Sabine to do that. I just didn't see any of this coming. And then I went back and I'm watching the dialogue as it mm-hmm. develops. And I'm like, oh my God, there is a ton of little tiny hints here that just these breadcrumbs that take us right to the end. So how do you guys feel about, I guess, we'll start with Joey, just like the writing of the show and some of the dialogue, because it's not been super noticeable. Like it doesn't jump out and you're right. like, oh my God, it's really noticeable. It's like on a rewatch, I go back and I'm like, what is, right. you know, going on? Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, you know, you brought something to light to me just even there. I'm like, well, that's a good point. I guess she didn't say, you know, explicitly, yes, you can, you know, she said in the way that she did. So the way that they're doing all of this, I mean, they're focusing on the, you know, one of the things they're focusing on is that relationship between Sabine and Ahsoka, right? Which I'm truly enjoying that. Sabine is, you know, easily top five character for me as well in Star Wars. Loved her in Rebels, love the actress that voiced her as well. So I think to have that as, I mean, a very important part of this, because if there's a true level of trust between the two of them, Sabine does the right thing. Well, Sabine does the thing that Ahsoka wants, right? Which is to destroy the map, you know, at the mm-hmm. at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you watch the reaction with me and Ben, we are kind of torn. We have no idea exactly in that moment, even though she said, you can count on us, you can count on me, she was still hesitating. And we're like, there's no way that she's going to join them. And then she right. does. So to have that plot twist, to have that twist there at the end. Now, you could argue, it's episode four. Of course, she's going to go with him. You know, so like in the grand scheme of things, you know, if you think of it in that sense, you're like, well, we can't end it now. You know, she's not going to shoot it. And it's like, you know,
right.
But since we are in the moment, they have compelled us to think that this is the way she's going to go, but she goes the other way. I mean, that's just good writing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And actually, so to transition to Ben here, because like one of the things that, and this is actually from like my wife, Lottie, we were watching it earlier and she was like, hold on a second. There is when Ahsoka says, like, sometimes we have to do what is right despite our personal feelings, where it was like, she grabbed the controller out of it. I just wanted to throw our listeners. I was like, Lottie, I didn't expect this. She pauses it. Typically that's me pausing it, saying, check this out. She's like, hold on a second. Like, could that not be taken in a different way? Like, from Ahsoka's perspective, like, set aside your personal feelings for Ezra to do what's right and destroy the map. Or, like, from, and it's just spitballing here, but, like, the idea that maybe Sabine is setting aside a personal feeling or obligation to Ahsoka to do what she thinks is correct, you know, and right in going to get Ezra. That's what needs to be done. And I go back to what Ezra says in his message to her, which is, we have no idea really what he's talking about there. What is it he's counting on her for to do, or to see it through? Is it to make a difficult decision right there? I don't think so, but I'm like playing around with all this dialogue, trying to figure out what they're talking about. So Ben, I just, you know, I'll throw it to you, just kind of thoughts on any and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'll touch on something you said about Ezra in particular, which, by the way, I think it's so cool that you share a name with a Star Wars character. Well, I guess Joey, you're the only one that doesn't.
Wow, you got to call us out like that. I got to go.
Joey's out. It's coming, Joey. I'm working on it. We're going to work on Dave and we're going to get it going.
Yeah. Joey Binks. This is the next. It's his cousin.
Yeah. But to relate it back to Ezra, I think it's interesting. It's definitely not accidental. And this speaks to the writing of the show, the language that Ahsoka uses when she's talking to Sabine and she says, you know, can I count on you? It's purposely the same language that Ezra says to Sabine in the hologram. And he says, I am counting on you. And so it you see the conflict in Sabine, like what Ahsoka is telling her to do and set aside her personal feelings and like asking her if she can count on her is in opposition to what Ezra is kind of, in at least Sabine's mind, is expected to do according to Ezra's expectations of being counted on by him. So you see the conflict in Sabine a lot in this episode, especially.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess when you threw those words, they're both counting on her to do something. And so then now you've got my head, you know, kind of spinning here thinking like, is Ezra counting on Sabine to like, what, let him go or do something to kind of like, should she have maybe, like as a Jedi, because he's talking about like being a Jedi and then here she is being trained possibly to be a Jedi and that might be something, you got to let me go, Sabine, or something. I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing there because I'm worried that when we get out here and we see Ezra, it ain't what we were supposed to do.
Right. You know? Well, and I think that's a pretty good possibility, but I think the important thing is not necessarily what Ezra is counting on her to do, but the way that Sabine is perceiving what she thinks Ezra is counting on her to do, which in her mind is rescuing him and helping him with Thrawn, you know?
Right.
So I don't think whatever Sabine thinks Ezra wants her to do is probably completely in line with what Ezra wants her to do is. But yeah, I guess that's kind of my general thoughts on that.
I think Ezra just wanted her to take the clothes out of the washer and put it in the dryer. That was like it. Everyone's like blowing this out of they were in the ghost. He forgot. Man. He had a load of laundry.
Right.
And he's like, mold, can I count on you? I totally forgot.
Right.
I got to go over here with Thrawn, but if you could just just throw it in the dryer for me, I'll
be back in a few years, you know, a decade or so. I need that laundry done. Wow. That's Oh my gosh. I don't know. I just think it's something that, as I was watching again, I keep thinking like, I got to pay way more attention to the actual words being spoken by these characters. And I actually, Joey, just a quick little step away here to the Last Jedi, and the writing in that, I don't know how people feel about it. The every line that was delivered, like you were like, there's a reward. I can't explain it. It's just like, everything Luke says here in the beginning, if you track it and you pay close attention to how it's lining up, it just, it's like this real nice symmetry. You know what I mean? It's sort of like what happens here will then give way to something over here. And so
I when I was watching this last episode and the one before it here with Ahsoka, I thought the same sort of thing. I'm like, wow, the writing on this is really good. And just the dialogue was next level. So, but yeah. All right, let's just quickly go into a couple of these things. So we're talking about like Ahsoka and Sabine. And in this episode, they go in together. But the line, I guess I want to talk about their relationship, because you guys are talking about Sabine being developed and she is here with Ahsoka now and she's her Padawan. But like, what happened? The Mandalore connections is really what I want to go to. Like, any thoughts or ideas? Was she not allowed to go back and maybe rescue her family? Is that, I'm just trying to figure out what, because that line is dropped by Baylan, right? That basically right. He uses that against her. And I don't even know if we can trust what he's saying there fully, but it feels like that kind of gave us a clue to this riff that has developed between them. And so Ben, I'll just kind of, you know, throw it to you real quick here. Like, did she have to trust Ahsoka in some moment where then she couldn't go back to that siege and then the destruction happens? Like, I don't know. What were you thinking when you heard that, I guess?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's some element of it that is probably intentionally ambiguous that we're not really supposed to know yet. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they do allude to it even more in the future episodes. But very clearly at some point between, you know, where we were and where we are now, there was some sort of falling out. Because even in the first, I think it's the first or the second episode, they even allude to the fact that this is like Sabine coming back to be Ahsoka's Padawan for the second time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if we necessarily know the complete specifics yet. Might be something that comes to light, but whatever the case may be, it was clearly something that created a rift between the two of them and was probably a major reason why the first Padawan ship came to an end, Sabine and Ahsoka.
Right, right. And then, yeah, Joey, is there anything like that? That seems like when Baylan approaches her, well, one of the things I think is super cool is whenever Baylan closes his eyes and he goes inward, I flip out every single time. I've been a lot of time. I'm sitting on the couch and it even happened today. And I was like, oh my gosh, this man is using the Force and he is sensing her emotions. And it's sort of like just a powerful moment. But that must have been what rose to the surface. Although it does seem like he knows them, right? It seems like he does know of Ahsoka and Sabine well before even being in contact with them to like use the Force to sense any sort of emotion. Is that the same impression you kind of got, Joey, just that he knows of them for sure?
Yeah. And I mean, he's, I think it was, I forget what episode it was, but yeah, to your point, yeah, he definitely knows Ahsoka, to the one line he says towards the end of one of the episodes where he says, you know, something about like having to kill her, you know, that would be a shame or something.
Shame, yeah.
It would be a shame, right. Something like that. So it would be a shame because he knows of who she is, right? He knows what she's been capable of, her history. So yeah, he definitely understands that. And to have, you know, to kind of follow along with her journey, you know, obviously Sabine being a part of it. Yeah, it totally makes sense that he would know a lot more about them. And when you have, you know, the Force ability to understand people's thoughts and all that, I mean, that only gives them even more, you know, give them the ability to also manipulate them in the way that he wants.
Yeah.
You know, so
right.
Where that's not the Jedi way, but he said specifically he's not a Jedi. So we know that. But one thing that Ben did notice was that Shin has the Padawan like braid too. So
right.
Like, are you we're going to go off of a tangent, but you know, what, that's, you know, fine. What's the sense there? What is he training her to be in? Cause that's what he knows. That's how he knows to do it, because that's how he was trained. So he'll do it. He'll, you know, he'll have the braid and all that. But yeah, to getting back to what the question was. Yeah. I think he definitely knows about them, understands their, at least her triggers, you know, Sabine. We know that Sabine isn't fully in tune with the Force. You know, we saw a little bit of an attempt to try to use it against Shin there. She wasn't able to grab the cup, you know, but she can fight with a lightsaber for sure. You know, that's the Mandalorian in her, as they said.
Right.
So I think she has the ability. She doesn't have the talent. I think that's what was alluded to with Ahsoka and with Hu Yang at some point. But right. It seems like she has the heart. She has the want to be that. And again, Ahsoka also said, I'm not a Jedi. So, you know, whatever the way that she's training Sabine to be a Force user in the way that she needs to be, you know. So, again, great writing. I like how they are portraying that. But to have all of that together, Baylan understanding all of that, I think that's why he's able to make Sabine make the decision that she did.
Right. Yeah. The influence, like the knowledge that he has through the Force, and then just some understanding of Ahsoka a little bit, is super interesting. And actually, so since you brought the point about the Padawan braid, and we're talking a little bit about Baylan here, like, I kind of wanted to just jump into, he says he's not a Jedi. Ahsoka says she's not a Jedi. And we do know that he was, Hu Yang kind of says, like, all right, this is I can identify this lightsaber. He clearly picks up Shin at some point and trains her. And as you said, Joey's training her in what he knows. But I mean, my theory, and what I've said a few episodes back on our podcast here, is that I'm not so sure. You know, we always think about Order 66 survivors, guys who survived Order 66 and went on, or did he leave the Order? I mean, he says everyone knew Anakin Skywalker in the Order, and he starts manipulating Ahsoka right away. He goes right to, like, her insecurities and the things that he knows is going to rattle her, right? But I'm like, was this guy actually like, did he leave the Order prior to Order 66? Did he just survive Order 66, or did he my theory was that he was sent away, and that he was sent on some mission possibly, and he went somewhere far away, did something, and is coming back at that moment and sees the Order is destroyed, and then he just abandons the way or something. I don't know. Have you guys talked about that at all, or any like, who is, we know who he is, we know what he says and what Yang says about him, but I don't know like what's his deal. So Ben, any thoughts on Baylan's backstory?
Yeah, this is, again, Baylan is probably the best example of why I personally love this show so much. As you also alluded to, like, we have both good guys and bad guys, but there is technically no Jedi and technically no Sith in this scenario. You know, it's people who are both operating outside the bounds of these traditional good and evil, what we would associate in Star Wars as good and evil. And but ultimately, both sides think they're doing what's right, or at least Baylan, at least the way I perceive his actions, it feels like he's doing what he's doing because he thinks what he's doing is right, not because he wants to be evil or anything, or at least I don't perceive it that way.
Right.
With Baylan himself, you know, I like your theory that, I mean, I can subscribe to that. I think he could have been sent away and come back and realized that what he once knew and what he once loved is gone. And so, you know, now the new world at this point is an empire and not a republic. And so what else are you going to do except go into hiding and pick up Shin along the way? And actually, Joey and I think in one of our episodes, we even like tossed around the idea briefly that maybe Shin is his daughter. So I mean, I don't know if that's the direction they'll go, but it's a possibility, I guess.
Guys, so I got to tell you something about myself. So you're probably wondering, like, what did Ezra, he wrote all these crazy questions on here, because the fandom goes nuts, right? Everyone thought Marok was going to be, you know, Ezra Bridger or something. I am that guy.
I thought he was Lando.
You thought it was Lando. Who knows? I mean, but like, it was like, I would subscribe to almost anything, because if I'm wrong, it doesn't like soil anything. You know how like you start theorizing and predicting and people start thinking it's got to go this way. I love to entertain all those ideas, and I'm still good. So I do caution people, like, hey, be careful. If you're going to do that and then it doesn't land, your crazy theory doesn't land, like, don't be super disappointed. Try to still enjoy the ride. So I do sometimes like love. So when you said Shin might be his daughter, I was like, okay, subscribe, like, get you know, give me more of those nuggets. There's so many people who, like, an episode will come out and they'll message me and say, like, what, you know, did you notice this little clue or this Easter egg, and it could mean this. And it's just it's going crazy. They've left plenty of room open to kind of speculate in this along the way. I feel like we're on a point right now in episode 4 where I have absolutely no clue where this is going to. I mean, I think I have an idea, and we can talk in a second here about Anakin and, you know, the world between worlds and what's going to happen there. But I mean, it's shocking. I just have really no idea where it's going to go. And I think a lot of it, though, we have some backstories to discover. The bit between Ahsoka and Sabine. We have this bit with Baylan and Shin. Who are they? Morgan, how does she fit into all that? So we have some backstories that we'll kind of, discover along the way.
And it's just going to be great because they're so, all of them right now are super intriguing characters. And I am like locked into all of them. So Joey, any thoughts, Joe, just on Baylan or any of that idea that he was, he says, I mean, at one point he was a Jedi and he said everybody in the Order knew Anakin Skywalker. I'm guessing he's including himself in that, that he was a Jedi and has lost his way. So yeah, what do you think?
I think at some point he'll go up against Morgan. Like that, that there's something, it's just not,
yeah,
clear cut that relationship, you know, right, where, because things like, you know, he understands how things have been, he's been around, you know, he knows what's going on, and it feels like it's not necessarily, you know, manager employee type of it's more of like a consultant, I feel like, you know, that,
yeah,
you know, I don't report to you type of thing. I'm in the corporate world, so that's like where my mind went,
right? Yeah.
But the it just doesn't feel like, and a lot of the things that he has said haven't been necessarily, to Ben's point, like evil. You know,
right,
they're not and where I could put Morgan kind of towards that way, more towards the evil sense,
right,
where Baylan is more like, well, you hired me, so I'm just gonna do the work here, you know,
right,
or that's kind of the feel I get from him. So it feels like at some point that he is going to have to make a decision whether to go with Morgan or to go with the, you know, with Ahsoka at some point. So that's kind of my out of nowhere type of theory.
Yeah.
And if it comes true, I'd be like, yeah, mark it. Remember, let's just mark it on this podcast. That's what I said. But if not,
you know,
yeah, just like you said, I mean, that's the fun part about Star Wars is that, you know, you'll release an episode and everybody's going to talk about one thing here and one thing there. And but the one bad thing is that when sometimes it doesn't come true, people get upset about it. And I don't agree with that part. But
yeah,
I think that's the fun of it is to talk about it, you know, with people.
Right.
And you see what other theories are out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, the Maroc stuff has been just wild. It was It was all over the place. We're talking about Morgan a little bit and I want to get to her here in a second. But like, Are there any theories about Maroc still being, is he really just, is it over? Are the theories done? I guess, Ben, like, is it settled? Has the dust or the smoke settled? I don't know.
What do you green smoke?
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to guess, I don't think this is something that's going to be readdressed. Maybe the concept of like what Maroc was might be readdressed, but yeah. I think this is an intentional red herring on the part of Dave to kind of like wave this thing in our face and like kind of get us excited and almost distracted while we're anticipating like the real threat, which is the return of Thrawn.
Yeah.
I would be more surprised if kind of the idea of Maroc or who or what Maroc actually was is readdressed in, at least in season one of Ahsoka.
Yeah. Okay. Cause I mean, it does seem like are you guys under the same impression? It's like he's animated or he's brought back to life or whatever. There's some sort of Night Sister element going on there, Joey, right? That he's just sort of animated by Morgan, I feel like, right?
That was the first thing that came out of my mouth when I saw it happen.
Yeah.
Was okay. That it was some Night Sister magic, something Morgan had done, some Dathomir black magic that had happened in front of us. And, you know, we haven't really gotten into this at all, but I kind of feel bad for people who don't have the knowledge that, you know, I'm not saying like we are all knowing of everything Star Wars.
Right.
But I can't ask like my wife, do you know what Dathomir is? You know, she'd have no idea, you know.
Right.
So where we can enjoy it because we have all of, you know, the years and years of watching Star Wars, whether it's animated series or any books or anything like that. I mean, honestly, I know how much I'm enjoying it because it refers back. I mean, they've gone on record saying this is season 5 of Rebels. Well,
yeah,
you know, what if you haven't watched Rebels, you know? So
So
part of me does feel bad about the people that have not consumed all of that up until this point, but, but I can't think of everybody all the time, but you know, it's been an enjoyable experience for us.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. And one thing, though, that you said earlier, and I wanted to tie this back into this right here, is you mentioned how Baylan might go, your theory, which we've timestamped, that he might, you know, he might go against Morgan, the way he's talking and stuff. Really, if you look at Chin, and I'm going to tie this back to Maroc here and how fans who aren't really maybe able to, maybe can't get a, they don't understand that connection back to Rebels.
But if they're watching this, Shin keeps saying witchcraft. He keeps saying witchcraft. And so I'm hoping that there's enough of those right in there that they're like, even if you don't know what a Night Sister is or Dathomir, or like you said, because my wife, same thing. What? When it happened, she was like, what happened? Like, what's going on? And I was like, oh my, because our reaction is like, what? Are you kidding me right now? And you see the smoke and it lights off all these different, you know, things from previous episodes or seasons of Rebels. But they're at least dropping enough of this. Like when Shin looks at Morgan, it doesn't look friendly at all. It looks like she's sort of like, I'm watching her and I've got my master's back in case she does anything. It's just, she feels like she's on guard around her. And if you watch her, the actress is absolutely, Ivana, is that her name? She's killing it. Absolutely. Yeah. Her eye gaze is intense. You guys, I mean, she has got it. Did you guys see the picture of her and, I'm blanking on her name. He plays Sabine, Natasha,
Berdoza.
Yes. Berdoza? And yeah. Like there's a picture of them kind of going around on the internet right now. They're all like cuddled up together, smiling and stuff. And it's kind of going viral and it's great because they just sort of went at it. And now they're, you know, they posted this cute kind of their friends. You know, that was cool. But yeah, I think they're kind of going to, I think they probably are going to be maybe going after each other. And I think that's now that you've said it like that, I never felt like they were in real good sort of harmony with Morgan. And they're keeping an eye on her. But he said it today when she lit up the map, or I'm sorry, in episode 4, you know, that this is witchcraft. And so it's like, I hope there's enough of those things in there for folks to kind of keep up on what's going on. Even if they don't get all the super Easter eggs, I feel like, yeah. Because there is a lot of stuff that there's been articles out, like, what do people need to know about Rebels and Ezra and all this kind of stuff? I mean, we are being rewarded greatly for having watched all of that. And I just hope people are still able to kind of watch it and like, okay, this is epic. There's still some lightsabers, force battle, mystical stuff going down. And it's just, yeah, it's pretty cool. To Ben here. So a couple episodes back, I don't know if this is two or when this was, when they first sort of get to, is it Cetos? Is that the name of the planet?
Yeah.
Cetos. Yeah. When they get there, or maybe it wasn't even there. Do you remember the part where Morgan was like listening and possibly trying to, using her like Night Sister sort of magic, and she talks about Thrawn talking to her or speaking to her? Do you guys remember that part a little bit?
Thanks. So.
I'd have to pull, I feel bad I threw it out here on the fly, but as you were talking about, I think as Joey was talking about Morgan a little bit, I started thinking, like, is she actually, how do we know that she, like, how does she know any of this stuff is leading to Thrawn? That's been a little bit of a confusion piece for me. Like, she says Thrawn is like speaking to her or talking to her, but it's like Ezra just took him with the Purrgil, and did he have time to leave a map? Who left a map? Have you guys talked about that at all?
Right.
It's like,
right.
I don't know. Cause it feels like it's just strange. Who would have left a map to this place? And, or is it just about the Purrgil and their hyperspace lanes or something? I don't know.
Well, it's kind of shrouded in the secrecy of the Night Sister magic. Cause that's where Ahsoka finds the map. And there's, is it the, it's originally in the Legends canon, it was the Yuuzhan Vong. What's the new canonical name for the same group? There's
Grisk?
Like yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
The Grisk.
Oh, the Grisk.
Like, that this is like Grisk technology that was somehow like hidden amongst the Night Sisters. I don't know. I think there's like still elements of it that we don't really understand fully. And again, this is another point to make as well in regards to Morgan, that might go perhaps not understood if you haven't had that exposure to Clone Wars. That Mother Townsend was like the only other dark side force user that Sidious feared during the Clone Wars, that like truly he feared during the Clone Wars.
Yep.
And so, you know, to what level, like, I'm not saying Morgan is as strong as Mother Townsend was in the Clone Wars, but you know, she either is a Night Sister or she's like a descendant of the Night Sisters. She has the ability to use Night Sister magic. And so all that to say, there is like a powerful force at play here that we don't really understand yet.
Right.
And how that plays into like the technology of the map, who left the map, what role the Night Sisters had in leaving the map versus like this Grisk technology potentially. There's still a lot of unknowns, unknown variables in the equation.
Right. And because Joey, I just kind of, I forget, like, I had somebody send me a theory the other day about the map. And I was like, I just bought it. I bought that she knows this is where you go. And that's what they want from their audience, is just don't think about it yet. And there's going to be later on, all these things will be kind of explained. But I thought, man, this is just a little bit wild in terms of the technology. And then is she actually listening to Thrawn? Because I'm worried that I just think something is not right about all of this. Yeah. And it seems like, I don't know who, it's just not going to go the way it did. It has not gone the way that I thought it was going to go. And I don't think it's going to go the way that I think it's going to go, if that makes sense.
Right.
Which is, by the way, a connection to The Last Jedi. That was said multiple times in that film as well. This is not going to go the way you think.
Go the way you go, right?
Yeah. But let me, before I know I've been talking to you guys for, I don't want to keep you too long or whatever. I do want to just really quickly touch on the big topic, which is the World Between Worlds and Anakin, and like what you guys think. Because Ben, at the end of your guys' last episode, I think you brought up some of those things about the lightsaber, and I was just listening to it before you guys got in here as well. The lightsaber's off, right, for Anakin, no scar, de-aged, and different things. So I guess just, you know, I want to get both your thoughts on this, but what do you guys think is actually going on? Like, one, how did she get in there? And then two, who pulled her in, or well, I guess that's part of one. Was she pulled in there or not? And like, is that Anakin? Is that in what form is that Anakin? So just thoughts, I guess, for our listeners, because I've had a lot of questions on Instagram and in our email asking me kind of like, what do I, like, is that actually him? And not understanding, is that a Force ghost or what is that? And I think that's the whole point. We're all supposed to be a little bit confused here, right. But I just want to ask Ben what he thinks.
Yeah, I mean, we're journeying into somewhat of unknown territory, because our only exposure to the World Between Worlds, or at least, you know, entrance into the World Between Worlds, like Ezra brought Ahsoka there. Like, we saw how Ahsoka got there the first time she went to the World Between Worlds. And this time it's just kind of like she wakes up after falling off a cliff and you're like, wait, hold on a minute. How did this happen? There's a little bit of uncertainty in that regard. And then, as you alluded to, we're not sure if Anakin was the one that brought her there. If I was hypothesizing, I don't think this is actually Anakin. Mm-hmm. I think there are too many both covert and overt things that happen in that last 20 seconds of the episode that lead me to that conclusion.
Yeah.
I would say a few of them are the things you mentioned, like people noticing, like they thought there were reports, and I would have to watch it again and look more closely to know if this is true, that his hilt was the Vader hilt and not the Anakin hilt. The scar being the really big one.
Right.
I saw one about his hand not being something about his hand. There's all these like weird things that people notice at the end of the episode that are all more like covert things. But I would say the biggest example of why I don't think it's actually Anakin is the overt thing that happens when there's nothing visually even going on the screen and the subtitles say, you know, Vader music or whatever, you know. By the way, do you watch with subtitles?
Yeah, because my wife is so again, German, English is her second language, and so we gotta have the subtitles. And actually, I don't think I'll ever go back, because there are so many little things and clues that I'm like,
oh yeah,
so much nicer. I can like read the it's great. So yeah,
yes, it's great Vader's for stuff like music, and especially great for planet names.
Yeah,
when they're like, you're like, what planet was that? And just seeing it in text, you're like, oh, that's where we are. You know,
right, yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I don't think this is actually Anakin. If I was guessing. Of course, I guess no one really knows for sure. I would like to think that at the beginning, or at least some point in the next episode, we get a peek into like different portals in the World Between Worlds. Mm-hmm. There's a pretty big theory going around before the show even came out that we're going to see like Order 66 era stuff from a different perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Or like how it would have turned out if Anakin like wouldn't have chopped off Mace Windu's arm and,
right.
You know.
Oh, wow.
So I mean, that's a, I don't, that's kind of out there. I don't know if that's actually the direction they're going to go, but some part of me wants to see Anakin like lead her around the World Between Worlds, be like, look at this portal, see how it could have been. Look at this portal, you know? And then I think at the end of that conversation, Ahsoka will like somehow come to the realization that like, you're not really Anakin. And then there will be this like pseudo conflict between fake Anakin and Ahsoka as well at the end of it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Yeah. Joey, thoughts just on the World Between Worlds, what are you thinking? I guess even, just our first reaction that you had when that happened. I thought Ahsoka was, I didn't think she, you know, had died, but I was like, where'd she go? I mean, so, thoughts on that.
I think the Anakin that we're seeing is old man Smithers from the museum, and he's going to take off his mask, and he's going to say, I would have gotten away with it. it wasn't for you meddling kids.
I appreciate the Scooby-Doo reference so much, Joey.
That's good. That was direct from the wasn't there a Mandalorian episode that was basically that, right? With Christopher Lloyd, wasn't it, that one?
Right. No.
So I'm kind of, I am on the fence with where I am, where, you know, who, what Anakin is. Part of me wants to go to the parallel universe type of idea, you know, where this is Anakin from another time, where if kind of what you were saying, if Order 66 doesn't happen, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't make the decisions he makes. This is, so I kind of like that thought. Yeah. And where he doesn't, where maybe this doesn't exist in this particular Star Wars timeline, this is a possibility. This is what could have happened. Because you saw, up until this point, Ahsoka has been very, and I don't really like the word stoic, but it kind of sets, you know, who she is really in this series. But the moment she hears Anakin's voice, a complete change in her demeanor, the way she is. And it touches her to her heart, you know. Right. So and she calls him master, just like what we saw in the Clone Wars.
Yep.
You know, and yep, that's all on purpose, you know, to that she is directed that way to have those, remember all of the things that, and because at this point she has already fought Vader. You know, this Ahsoka, mm-hmm, that we hear at this point knows that Anakin has turned, knows that it was Vader. Excuse me. And right, we do know that, yeah, she does. She does know it's Vader, yeah, at this point, absolutely, right? Yeah, yeah,
you're right.
And what we don't know though is, like, to what level of knowledge does she have about Vader's, like, turning at the time of his death, like back to the, mm-hmm, light side? I mean, I guess we can assume maybe she had that conversation with Luke. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Good point. Yeah. Did anybody tell her?
Like, hey,
yeah,
by the way, your master, he actually was good at the very end.
Yeah. Yeah. It took a while. I had to take off his helmet, but you know, we're good.
Yeah.
Right. And he aged a lot, though. You should have seen how he looked.
Yeah.
But
I really give it caught up with him.
So yeah, and to, you know, I agree. She didn't die. I agree. I think she was pulled in.
Okay.
But part of me is wondering if it's like the Force pulling her in, something, not a person, not something, mm-hmm, but the Force felt it needed to intervene. This is where you need to be right now. Now, I don't know if that's how the Force works. You know, this is where you put in the Han Solo clip. That's not how the Force works, you know. But
right.
But if that is a possibility, maybe that's what actually pulls her into the war between the world between worlds.
Right.
You know. So for whatever reason, she is meant to be there. Just like Ezra was meant to be there when he pulled out Ahsoka the first time. And I think that's where I am with this. And part of me, I don't really go on too many theories. I don't, you know, I try not to jump into it. I like going for the ride. I like to see what unfolds in front of me.
Right.
And not so much that I'm worried that my theory won't go through, but sometimes I just don't have time to really think about it all. Cause you know, there, you know, you can get into a deep rabbit hole on YouTube. I think my friend Ben might know about the rabbit holes on YouTube. But I think that there's obviously a huge reason why she was in there. Is it for a tour of to see, like, this is how you can use the world between worlds?
Yeah.
But don't necessarily, and you know, even in Rebels when she was in there with Ezra, when Ezra wanted to go into the portal with where Kanan had died, you know, and you know, she knew that it wasn't right. So, you know, she has, even though she had never been in there before that, she knew that it was not a place to make changes necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to happen here, because this is now her second time there. And so she knows that, you know, maybe in the time that she's been in there the last time, she understands kind of just the Force in general, you know, a little bit more. And she'll understand, you know, what she can do, or what she should and should not do in there.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you mentioned too that you're a guy who likes to just go along for the ride, because that actually, I was about to share what I thought. I mean, a theory that I've, you know, because Ben, have you seen, I don't know, do either one of you guys, so Joey doesn't dabble in the theories too much and it's just along for the ride for, or what, but Ben, do you ever throughout the week look around and see what people are speculating about?
Too much.
Me too. But it doesn't like soil anything for me that I'm sort of like, oh man, that's crazy. You know, that's a crazy thought. So I don't want to say anything more about things that I've looked into, because I'm like, Joey is along for the ride and I want him to, want him to have a good ride, because it's like you could go nuts with this world between world stuff and the things that could happen, because it just opens up so many,
right?
I mean, literally portals and gateways and things to stuff. So, which is fun. It's fun to think about all the things that could happen there. But I think right now, just talking about like how did she was pulled in there by the Force. And Joe, you said the you mentioned the Joe console. I mean, that's not how the Force works, but the Force awakens in Rey. Like you said, the Force is this actor that does awaken in Rey. And so I thought the same thing too. And I was talking to Lottie, my wife. She was like, did she fall into it? Is the Force activated because of all of the witchcraft going on there or something? Is this a weak point where she just entered accidentally, or the Force pulled her in? I don't know. But anyways, yeah, Ben, back to the theories and stuff. Because I don't want to spoil anything for Joey, but have you read anything that's been absolutely wild out there that you're thinking might happen?
I tend to like to read them on Twitter, because I know if I read them on Reddit, they'll be like way too deep and perhaps way too accurate. And so level, I do relate to what Joey's saying. Like, I try to avoid like the super in-depth stuff where I'm like, wow, that might actually come true, you know, because right. I do at some level want it to be a surprise. But yeah. I think, you know, I can't help but look at it and say, well, what happens if this, or no, what happens if that?
Right.
For me personally, I think it's kind of fun to speculate and not let that affect the way however the show turns out or whatever direction it goes, how I feel about it. You know?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I'll give you an example of, you mentioned Twitter, Ben, so I have to mention this particular story.
This is not that bad. It was at the time, it was kind of a bad spoiler, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't even a theory, you know, so. When it was Mandalorian, right? That's where that happened, right?
Mando season three.
So I'd been very good about just not seeing spoilers or leaks or anything like that, or even theories,
right?
And I happened to just go on Twitter. It was probably the morning after an episode had released, it was after we recorded an episode of the podcast, and I just happened to like open Twitter or something like that. And somebody had leaked the pictures of Zeb being in the next episode of the Mandalorian. And of course, that's not like a huge plot point. That's not anything that's very, you know, groundbreaking or shattering for this plot line. But I was so upset when I saw it, I wanted to experience that. You know, I wanted to experience that, you know, watching it and be like, oh. So then I told Ben right away, I'm like, do not go on Twitter. There are pictures there that, you know, that are from the next episode. And so make sure you don't. And, you know, Ben thought it was going to be this huge, like, you know, like this is Snoke or something like that, you know, something crazy. Yeah. Something crazy.
The follow up to that is I'm waiting the whole episode for like, what's the thing that Joey said was a big spoiler? And then I see Zeb and I'm like, was that the thing? Yeah.
Oh man, that would have if I would have saw that too ahead of time, that would have been like, oh man, I know it's coming. Been cool to see online. You're like, I wanted to see that when it lands.
Yeah.
And so that's actually where I'm actually even like mid show, I was like, you know what? I'm realizing that Joey is not a guy who speculates a whole lot too much. And I was just like, I might want to tone down my speculation, because sometimes if you throw enough darts out there, you hit something, sure. And you're sure. Like, oh, okay, cool. That was fun. And I kind of with some of the other teachers at work, we just get in there like, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen next? And that's sort of what the hangout aspect of it is. Nobody's gone and looked up leaks. That's where I get kind of like, oh, man, if you looked up leaks and now you're sending me transmissions or emails about it, I'm like, come on. That's right, not right. So I like kind of once I start to feel like I sense it in the Force. If there's a leak in my inbox, I'm like, no, we're not going there.
And that's the part about Twitter is like you have no idea.
Right.
What's a leak? What's a theory? You know, when you're scrolling down, you just have no idea what you're about to get into.
Right. Yeah. It's wild. I don't want to keep you guys too much longer, because I feel like I've talked your ear off, and you guys, it's, you know, I don't the last episode you guys were talking about being an hour and 14 minutes, and I was like, that was, you had stretched yourself. So I feel like I've kept you way too long here. But I just want to ask real quickly as we go out of here, is there any hope of seeing, or not hope, I should say, like what actually, yeah, no hope. I don't think we're going to see him at all. I don't hope to see him here, but what do you guys, what is Luke Skywalker doing at this time? Is he just,
his laundry,
right? I mean, is somebody doing, is he still just, did any other students show up? I mean, Grogu's gone, right? So Grogu is back wherever. And he's just out there. Is he meditating? Is he on Tython? Is he like trying to like connect to other folks? I don't know. I just thought of, Funny one. Any hopes for Luke Skywalker, Ben?
He's off drinking some blue milk somewhere.
Bless. I hope.
Yeah, I think he's on Dagobah trying to get all the he's just cleaning up whatever Yoda left behind. You know, he just
maybe he's perfecting his root stew, like, you know, recipe right. over there with, like, he's getting the right roots from Dagobah or something. But I just think it's funny. It's like, where is he at? You know, he's just, I mean, I know where he's at, but it's just
right.
And this all happened right away because I saw some people like, wouldn't Luke show up here or whatever? It's like, guys, Luke Skywalker is starting an academy. He is out somewhere else. Like, leave him alone. Okay, we will get to him. This is Ahsoka's story, but
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that I think it's more likely we see him probably in the second season of this show.
Yeah,
but I don't think it would, like, I mean, it would certainly surprise me if we see him in the first season, and I would love it. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
yeah,
the end of Mando season two, for a lot of, especially like fans who have come into, you know, the Star Wars fandom, like in recent years, the end of Mando season two is one of the most exciting moments in recent history.
Yeah.
And so to like kind of relive that, if he were to come back for Ahsoka as well, would be pretty neat. If I had to guess, though, to go back to the speculating thing.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll probably see him in season one, but I would hope we see him at some point in the Ahsoka show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't necessarily go back to the well when it comes to Luke Skywalker. I mean, when he at end of Mando season two, he just came out of nowhere and it was great, you know, and it would almost cheapen that if you're like, oh, by the way, here he is again, whatever, you know, right. So you'd almost don't want to keep going back to that. And I don't think Dave would. I don't think Dave would.
No.
Dave is so immersed here in this particular time. I mean, he's going to make a movie, you know, eventually about, you know, in this time era as well. So I don't think you necessarily even want him to be a part of this. I mean, if he doesn't show up at all in any of the Ahsoka, you know, seasons, that's honestly probably better. One of the things about the sequel trilogy that I feel like they could have done better about was the use of what they called the legacy actors.
Yeah.
You know, Carrie, you know, Harrison and Mark Hamill. Yeah. So because it's just, I wanted that to be almost a separate thing. I you know, now that I understand the Skywalker saga, okay, makes more sense that you include them. But if that would have been more of just like, here's a new era of Star Wars, you know, when Luke was more of a legend, you know, all the stories, things like that. I feel like if they would have used him in that way and not had them interlaid so much with the story, maybe it would have been better received. If you throw Luke more into like something like the Ahsoka series, I feel like you run that same risk.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, because I thought the same thing too. And it's, you know, Disney, their first thing, right? Mm-hmm. They just acquire it and they just decide, are we going to get these guys in there? And but you're right. Yeah, the legacy characters, you don't want to overdo that, and you want to make sure. It would have been cool if like Rey and Finn were just out there on it was a whole new, and that's what seems like they're setting up now. So yeah, I don't think he'll be in it either. I just kind of thought, you know, I'm always thinking about, I'm always wondering where he's at and what he's doing. Like, where's Leia? Where's Han? Where are they?
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, like I said, if he's getting ready for the academy, you know, he's got to get permits, you know, he's got to get construction workers, and, you know, so he's probably, there's a lot of administrative work that really has to go behind the scenes there.
Where is that plant? Is he in the jurisdiction? Did he go outside of New Republic territory? Like, where is, I want to know where he's at. Like, it's operating out there on his own or something, which is a little shady. But anyway, okay, well, guys, thanks so much. I just had a bunch of, you know, we do our initial just sort of like, boom, we get it out, what you guys do, we walk through the episode and what do we think point by point. But I still had all these different questions that I just wanted to, you know, chat with you guys about and see what you thought in terms of characters, where they're going, the writing. I would just encourage everybody to keep paying attention to that. This next episode, you guys said, I think I heard this on your thing, I heard it this morning on the way to work. You guys were talking about the theater thing. They'll be dropping this in the theater for certain. Yeah. I mean, what would you say, 10 theaters or something like that? So
yeah, it's 10 or 12 theaters across the country. They're debuting it an hour earlier than it actually comes out on Disney Plus. So for anyone out there who's watching Ahsoka and, you know, you watch it right when it comes out, stay off social media for the hour before the show, because you might see some spoilers.
Yeah. Done. That's crazy. That's it's in Chicago, right? They've got one in Chicago. Joey's
not. Yeah, there is one there, but they were sold out by the time I looked at the site, unfortunately. Because
that would be an experience. I mean, if it were near me, I would definitely have considered it. But Yeah. Well, hey, thank you guys so much though for coming on. I know I took up a lot of your time. This was fun for me, and I hope you guys had a good time. I really do enjoy your guys' vibe over there, and I'm happy for you guys. It's like a year coming up on your 1 year anniversary. And since I've been listening for the last, I think it's about the past four, how long we've been talking? Was it before Ahsoka that I reached out to you, or right around?
Just before. That sounds about right. Yeah,
because I think I just got back from like Germany. I was out with my wife or family's for our summer vacation, and I came back, and I think I was actually over there when I found you guys. And I was like, okay, this is an interesting. Who are these guys? And then so started listening. Really went to YouTube and then checked you out. And I just think they have a great product, so you guys go check them out. What are the handles again there, Ben? Maybe just for folks listening here. I'll put links down in the description too.
Yeah, so we do video and audio format of the podcast. The video, you can find it at youtube.com/hangout, and you can find the audio format anywhere you get your podcasts, including Spotify and Apple, and anywhere else you may listen to pods. Again, that's Hoth Hangout on that those platforms as well. And then we've got just at Hoth Hangout on the socials, like TikTok and Instagram and X now.
Yeah.
And then, we've got a Gmail too, that if anyone ever wanted to send us any Star Wars related questions, it's just hothhangout@gmail.com. So
I love you got that hothhangout@gmail.com, and no one else, like there was no one had like snuck in there. Cause whenever you're making a project, you always try to make it, is the handle free or whatever. And that one, I was like, wow, there's no numbers or nothing.
So. I was surprised. We actually got hothhangout.com as well. I was super surprised that we actually got that.
Oh my. That's amazing, guys. Like, hold on to that. Just, geez.
Website coming soon.
Yeah, right. I hope so. Last question for you guys about like your podcast. After Ahsoka's over, what's your, just for our listeners in case they're interested, because I know they listen to a lot of Star Wars podcasts. What do you guys, what's your format kind of like when you get beyond? Do you just kind of pick a topic and then discuss it, or what's the format sort of like for after Ahsoka or after you're doing a rewatch?
Joey is definitely the more organized of the two of us. And so he'll create like this structured show notes. And typically we have one that's like a monthly one that Joey does. And so we'll kind of have a brief meeting, Joey, Gibbo, and myself, and we'll kind of talk about our next four episodes usually. At least that's how we were structuring it before Ahsoka started.
Yeah.
And our ideas kind of like bounce all over the place. You know, we've had episodes, Joey mentioned this, I think, at the beginning of this episode, but where we do like drafts. So we've done like a Jedi draft, a Sith draft. I think we might do a bounty hunter draft at some point in the future. We do episodes where we have like rankings, like with movies, and we did a rankings episode, I think, with the Visions episode too, a while back. And basically if there's a show out, that's kind of like our primary focus is talking about the show, but in the in-between segments, we kind of fill it with other stuff we find might be interesting. And we did an episode recently, I think, as well on the comics, which we had been wanting to do for a while and finally got to do that. So that was fun as well.
Man, yeah, I like it. That's cool. Because I went to the YouTube and you can see a lot of that stuff there. Just the rankings were what drew my attention. And I thought, okay, this is, and you guys go at it. It's a good 50 minutes, one of them while I was watching to an hour where they're going back and forth on this. So highly recommend to check that out. And I'm gonna go do a little research too, so that way I can might be sending you guys a transmission on my own, sort of saying like, what I almost, Joey, sent you one earlier this morning when I saw Sifo-Dyas up there. I was like, I reconsidered Frost. Like, I was like, who, hold on, I gotta get to know these guys a little bit. Who are we bringing on here? No, I'm just kidding. But no
like you mentioned, we like to have fun, and you know, Star Wars is supposed to be fun. You know, so if I throw in a little bit of a joke in there, and you know, that's kind of where I sit. I mean, Ben is very much between the two of us, more of the historian, I would call, where he, you know, he gets a lot more information. He will do the deep dive into YouTube and, you know, other places. But I'm just more, I'm like kind of what I mentioned earlier. I'm like, I'm just here for the ride. So if you guys, you know, if we want to talk about Star Wars, I'll talk about it. I'll just throw a Sifo-Dyas reference in there just because, just
love
for giggles.
It. Oh, I love it. It's a name I've not heard in a long, long time, guys. I don't drop the Sifo-Dyas very often, so it's definitely made me chuckle. And I love those things. It's like what I loved about The Mandalorian. They're bringing in like all these old droids and different stuff. It's freaking great. Star Wars is, you're right, it's fun. It's just fun to be kind of, you know, loose with it and have fun and to see where it goes. Enjoy the ride. So
right.
All right. Well, again, thank you guys so much. Really cannot thank you enough for doing this with me. It's just been a lot of fun, and I would love to have you back in the future. If you guys ever want to come back on, just hit me up. Let me know. I know our listeners would love to to have you here. And my, to those listening right now, when you get off this episode, head over Hoth Hangout, give them a 5-star, tell them where you came from, tell them you heard this episode, and get after it, friends, because I think they're, I'm looking forward to many more years of you guys podcasting, because I'm a true listener now. I'm locked in, man. You guys got me. So
thanks for having us, Ezra.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Appreciate it.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah, thank you very much. So, all right, friends. Hey, we'll be back again next week. Lottie and I will come back with our quick little reaction, and I think we got another guest coming on. We might have our old friend Cameron back on before we get another collaboration. Swish and Flick will be on after that, and I got a few more lined up. Magic with Michaela and things. So just be on the lookout. We kind of do those on Friday or Thursday, and look for that in the future. But thanks, everyone, for listening. I will be back with more, and as always, may the Force be with you.
Sifo Dyas.
Sifo Dyas.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.